Welcome to the Washington Heights Church weekly podcast. We do this to help people feel at home at WHC, where we help people meet and follow Jesus. Thank you for joining us. Well, hey, thanks for tuning in again today to the Washington Heights weekly podcast. And we just want you to better understand who we are, where we come from, and where we're going. And in doing so, we're introducing you to some various people. Some are staff members here, some are volunteers here, and some are in the bigger picture of what God is doing. And today, I want to introduce you to a friend of Washington Heights, somebody that we on a staff level and a number of leaders have known for several years now. And his name is Chad Moore. And back a few years ago, when we were moving in a multi-site direction, we sought out mentoring. And we were introduced to Chad in that effort, and that relationship, I'm happy to say, is something that continues not only today, but hopefully for a long, long time to come. And one of the main reasons that we really want to maintain that relationship is that we share a common picture and vision of the church. What are we here to do? How should the church be really positioned in regard to the culture and the people around us, and what matters to us, and how do we sort out all those priorities from the people who are at the church already versus those who are maybe driving by and have no idea who God is, or all these different ideas of who God is. But before we get to a lot of that, Chad, thank you for joining us today on the podcast.
Well, thanks for having me, Roy. I'm honored, and it's always a privilege to team up with you, and just excited about what God is doing at your church, and it's my privilege today. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you bet. And hey, before we talk about, you know, some of that church stuff, why don't we just hear a little bit more about you? Talk about your family, where you're from.
Yeah, so I'm married, be married 19 years here in a couple of weeks. We have two boys. Josh is 17 and just bought a car, saved up, and did the deal himself, so we're celebrating that with him. And Jackson is 11. I was born and raised in Texas. I live out in Arizona now. I've been out here for about 16 years. In July it'll be. And then my wife is from Scotland, and she's been in the States for just over 20 years. And we met in Dallas when she was going to school, and I was leading a Bible study at the church she attended. And so we have the two great countries of Texas and Scotland colliding with all the accents involved in our home.
Do you have an interpreter in your home, or you know, have you figured things out?
We need one on occasion. I think probably all marriages need an interpreter on occasion.
Amen to that. Yeah. And hey, I know something about you, Chad, and maybe this is self-evident being from Texas and you talked about Dallas. Not only do you love God's church, you also love God's team, the Dallas Cowboys, and I think that's another big reason that, you know, this relationship has worked for a number of years. So kudos to
you. There is a reason why the sky is blue and white, you know.
So. Awesome. Well, Chad, as you mentioned, you are in the suburbs of Phoenix, Arizona. And you are the lead pastor at a church that has multiple sites. How many sites is the Sun Valley consist of now?
Yeah, so we have five locations, and we're building our sixth right now. We plan to open it up Easter of next year.
Wow. And I think even the movement toward multi-site in your paradigm of church is born out of sort of the central idea that I want to have you speak into today. And that is, why is it that the church should be focused outward, that the arrows, so to speak, are pointing outward and not inward? And by that, I mean, why care so much about the people who have yet to come to church or trust Jesus or become a follower of Jesus? And I know from time that we have talked that that is something very important to you and to the church that you're leading there. Can you fill in some of the understanding? Why does that matter so much?
Sure. Well, I guess the simplest or fastest answer would be, you know, the church is not a building that we come and sit in. Biblically speaking, the church is a movement that we choose to be part of. And as followers of Jesus, we help people meet, know, and follow him. That's just part of what he's called us to do. And so as a follower of Jesus, Jesus was outwardly focused. He came to reach people. That's why he was, you know, that's why we celebrate Christmas and good news of great joy for all people that we have a Savior. He came to reach those that were outside the faith and to offer a relationship with God to the entire world. We're outsider focused because Jesus is outsider focused. If you look at the life of Jesus, it's not just what he said, it's what he did. He was a friend of sinners. Interesting thing about that is that actually wasn't a compliment. It was the religious people that called him a friend of sinners. But Jesus embraced it. He hung out with the marginalized in society. His whole mission was to seek and to save those who are lost. So to be a follower of Jesus is to be outsider focus. I don't know that you can follow him apart from that mission. So kind of the simple answer is that the church is to be a movement to follow Jesus, and in that we help people meet, know, and follow Jesus.
And you pointed out that there were people, very religious people, in Jesus' day who didn't get that, didn't understand that. And some of the names that were aimed at Jesus were a glutton and a drunkard, right? So those are not positive things. So there is a tension, right? Because that effort that you're talking about and that heart that really seeks to mimic the heart of God to reach out is not always understood well. And it creates this tension sometimes with people who say, you know, that you shouldn't care about that so much. How do you deal with that tension that people might present to you?
Yeah, I think we just always point people back to the scriptures. And when we point back to the scriptures, you know, Jesus has this moment before he ascends to heaven, and he gives what in the church world we call it the Great Commission. And what's fascinating about that moment in Matthew 28, 19, and 20 is this is the last thing Jesus is going to say to his followers. He's died on the cross. He's risen again. He's appeared to his followers for 40 days. Now he's going to ascend to heaven. And He gives that mission. And sometimes when I teach this, I'll ask what's the most important word in the statement he makes. The statement is he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. And then he says, I'll be with you always to the end of the age. And so I'll put that verse on a board or on a screen, and I'll say, what's the most important word? And of course, people say go, people say nations. But what's fascinating is the most important word in that command is the word them. That's the subject of Jesus's last command to his followers. Because we go to them, we baptize them, we teach them, which begs the question, if them is the subject, then who are them? Well, them is anybody that's not part of us. And I always tell our church, everywhere you go, them is always there. And so what does it mean for us to reach them? And just like any organization, the church is not the only organization that does this, but our tendency is always to become insider focused. We have to constantly be reminded that Jesus did not come to be served, but he came to give and to serve, and ultimately that would mean he would give his life away for you and for me and for all of mankind. Jesus is always outsider focused. The last command he gives to his followers is not about us, but about them. And what's fascinating, Roy, is I've learned over time, the more that I'm focused on reaching them, the more that I grow up in Jesus. Maturity itself is not about knowledge, but the Bible says it's about love. It's about giving and serving. It's about reaching out. It's about caring for the marginalized. It's about going to them. Jesus's whole life, his whole ministry, and the focus of, you know, the maxim command that he leaves us is to reach out. So it's just crystal clear in Scripture. Hmm.
And you touched on something that, you know, is part of my own experience in positioning a church outward, is really good people, and I think well-meaning people, say, well, if we're going to focus on them, what is there for me? And you kind of connected those two dots, that reaching out is part of the growth of the people who are already here. Am I representing what you meant there accurately?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Just think about any area in life. Maturity is production, right? And immaturity says, feed me, feed me, feed me. And maturity says, no, I can care for myself and I can produce and make more for others. All children, we want to prepare them for life. We want to grow them up so that they can grow up and do what? Produce good things in society. And yet, for some reason, in church, we think, and it's not what the Bible teaches, we think that maturity is just about receiving. Maturity is not about receiving. Maturity is about producing. In fact, the whole reason we receive is to produce. God works it in as we learn and grow and get to know his word and begin to grow. But God works it in so that we can work it out. The church is the only place where we say receiving is maturity. Hmm. Feed me, it's about me. But as we read the scriptures, we realize that it's not about receiving. Again, it's about giving and serving. It's about what are we producing. Jesus said it this way, where's our fruit? Right? Hmm. And what kind of fruit are we producing? And you can judge a tree by its fruit, and on and on and on and on it goes. Hmm.
Yeah, we just completed a series not that long ago on the fruit of the Spirit. Would you agree that it seems like the way that we often define maturity is more knowledge, not so much more fruit? Fair statement?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's incorrect. I mean, the Apostle Paul flat out said, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And if you want to build, that means you're producing something, again, which is what maturity is. This is coming to mind as well, Roy, now that we're kind of leaning this way in the conversation. I mean, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives the whole sermon. And then he says, he who hears these words of mine does not put them into practice like a foolish man. He who hears these words of mine puts them into practice is like a wise man. The foolish man builds his house on the sand. The wise man builds his house on the rock. The question is, who has the words of Jesus? Which group? Both do. Hmm. The difference between sand and rock, the difference between foolish and wise, is the application. It's, okay, Jesus has worked it in. Are we working it out? And of course, that would include every area of life, and specifically in this context, that would include being on mission with Jesus and doing what he says there. So, yeah.
So, Chad, let me ask you, if you were going to talk to somebody who is, you know, just a faithful, I'm here, I'm involved, and grew up, and I'm going to include myself in this, you know, I grew up in the church back on the East Coast, and that vision to be outward focused like Jesus was outward focused is something I never heard. You know, it was pretty much, you know, for whoever's here, that's who the church is for. So for somebody maybe coming from that or maybe experiencing that and wanting to make that transition to being outward focused, what practical steps would you say, hey, here are maybe some things to think about or some ways to get involved in that?
Yeah, my journey is real similar. My parents divorced when I was 8, but my mom, I was raised for the most part by a single mom, my brother and I. But one thing that mom did was she made sure we were at church, and that was a really good thing. But one of the things in the church that I grew up in, I was really taught that lost people were the enemy. You stay away from them, you know, and that maturity was about what you don't do. You don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't chew, you don't go with girls that do, you know, that whole run. And so when I grew up, started to read the Bible on my own, really got serious about my relationship with Jesus, I just started seeing what Jesus did. And I think we said this a moment ago, but just who he hung out with. The fact that he was a friend of sinners, the fact that religious people were mad at him for being a friend of sinners. And just the people that he embraced, just the light bulb came on. Lost people aren't the enemy. Lost people are the point. Lost people are the mission. You know, the only thing that we can do now that we will not be able to do in heaven is reach out to lost people, reach out to people who don't know Jesus. In heaven, the worship's going to be better. The fellowship's going to be better. We're going to study the character of God, you know, forever and ever and ever. That there's no end to the infinite depth of the riches of who God is. So you know, Bible study and the study of God continues, but we will not be able to reach out anymore. And so with that reality, you know, again, lost people aren't the enemy. They're the mission. It just seems in this life that the tip of the spear when it comes to the mission of the church has got to be reaching people that don't know Jesus. Mm. And again, I mean, I was taught the church is what you come to. Well, you don't go to church, you are the church. And if followers of Jesus are the church, then with that, what are we supposed to be doing? And the church is supposed to be on mission. So,
So that well-meaning person, what maybe one or two things would you encourage them to get involved in to position themselves in an outward manner? What would you see them becoming a part of?
Yeah, I think we get intimidated, especially if we've been in church for a long time, and we have this idea that, you know, I've got to know the Roman road. Those who've been in church for a long time know what I'm talking about. If you haven't been in church for a long time, you might not know what that is. But the point is, you feel like you know, if you're going to reach somebody for Jesus, you got to know a bunch of scripture. And what if they ask me a question about Adam and Eve or about Noah, and I don't know the answer to it, and all of that? By the way, if you don't know the answer to something, you just say something really brilliant like this: I don't know. and then you just move on. But the great thing about your church, Roy, is you build an environment where people can invite people. And I think sometimes we just way overcomplicate it, you know, and for people that have been in church, we psych ourselves out because we think we've got to know all these answers, when many times, reaching out to somebody is just as simple, as an invitation. I have, friends who know I'm a pastor. I try to put myself in environments where there's, you know, not a lot of church people. And, I typically will invite them to our Christmas Eve service. And I've had a couple of buddies give their life to Jesus at our Christmas Eve service. Hmm. Now they know me, I'm their friend, and that kind of thing. But when they heard me present the gospel on the stage, you know, they responded. And so I've done that in my own life. A lot of our people have seen their friends meet Jesus just by inviting them to church. I think the other thing is, you know, you just love people well. And you befriend people with intention, but you're not and here's the other thing. And I think this is why we get psyched out, Roy. God didn't call us to be salesmen. He called us to be witnesses. That's two very different things. It's not up to me to sell anybody. What I am is I'm just a witness that gives testimony of the love and grace and mercy of God in my own life. And man, it's been amazing for me. And I care for you. So I want that for you. It's a totally different approach. So I think it's as simple as an invitation. I think we don't psych yourself out. And you've got something great and you just want to share it with somebody. And so I think with that approach, we're much more effective. I do think there was a season in the life of the church world at large where we felt like we had to be salespeople. And that's just not true. What I found in my church is that new believers reach new believers. And it's almost like the snowball. We'll have somebody give their life to Jesus. They're so excited about it, they just automatically invite all their friends. They don't know that they're supposed to know the Roman road or whatever, you know, or that they're supposed to be psyched out by it. They're like the woman at the well who doesn't have a great reputation, but she has a conversation with Jesus. She goes back and invites, what is that, John chapter 4? Hmm. She goes back and invites, correct me, Pastor, is it John chapter 4?
It is John chapter 4. You are correct, Pastor.
All right. I mean, she goes back you know, she hadn't been to Sunday school. She hadn't been to seminary. And she invites the whole town to hear Jesus. They invite him to stay a couple of days, and most of the town puts their faith in Jesus. We psych ourselves out, and it's really pretty simple. You just love people well. You're a witness, not a salesman. And you use the power of invitation. Now, if you know the Bible well and you're equipped and you got the Roman road down, awesome. Go for it. But, you know, a church like Washington Heights, you guys build an environment where you can invite people to. And so you leverage that.
So you're talking about loving people genuinely. You're talking about inviting people into an experience and really into your journey, right? And so we're not talking about building rockets here, are we? I mean, this is stuff that anybody can do.
Yeah, we're just talking about who in your life doesn't know Jesus. Are you really a friend to them? And you know, love them well and be intentional about it. Yeah. Yeah, again, we way overcomplicate it.
Is there one?
There's no need to.
No. Chad, is there one story, one person maybe that stands out to you as here's a real life example of what we're talking about and why it matters?
Yeah. So in my, thank you for asking me that. So I have a friend, and, I met him. I'm just going to go all the way, Roy. I met him at a cigar shop. And his name,
I'm kidding.
I know. there's not a verse that says I can't go to the cigar shop, but, we call him Poker Mike. And if you're unfamiliar with that subculture, it's kind of like the old TV show Cheers. You know, once you go to the shop, everybody kind of knows you quickly. There's conversation. It's one of the only places that I've seen men actually talk to each other. But the reason we call Mike Poker Mike is because there's another Mike. And so we have to, you know, give the adjective to know which which Mike we're talking about. Poker Mike had only been to church a couple of times in his life. Those were Catholic churches. His name's Poker Mike because he works at a casino here in the East Valley where I live. On Indian reservations, they have big casinos. And so there's a resort called Talking Stick Resort, and he deals blackjack there. Mike served in the military, got out, and has been in the poker business for a couple of decades. And he plays poker and makes money that way. And then he also is a dealer at the casino, so he's Poker Mike. And Poker Mike didn't know that I was a pastor. I try not to let people in on that until I have to, because it changes the conversation and they feel weird and awkward and, you know, they kind of run from me.
You're preaching to the choir here. I got you.
Yeah. So, you know, so Mike and I had already built a little friendship before he found out what I did for a living. And then he was surprised and told me, you know, I was much different than he thought a pastor would be. And I took it as a huge compliment. But Poker Mike was having, some issues in his marriage. And I just said, hey man, you know, I'm a pastor, and I care about you, and I am about to start a new series on marriage. I'm going to speak most of it. There's another guy, you know, he's pretty good. I just think it will help you. Well, the second week in that series, we gave opportunity for, you know, people to say yes to Jesus. Mike, who had only been in church, this was like his fourth time in church in his life, and he's in his early, you know, 50s. I say, if you want to give your life to Jesus, get up right now and you can go meet. And he did. And what's funny is guys who go to our church, who, you know, go to that cigar shop, are texting me after service. And, you know, they're like, oh my gosh, Poker Mike, you know, gave his life to Jesus. And so, you know, I knew about it before I saw Mike again. But that's just the story in my own life. And that, I mean, of course, I shared the gospel from the stage. But the thing that everybody can relate to is I just had a friend who was struggling with something in his life. We were talking at church, you know, about things that the Bible says in the realm of his struggle. And I just said, you know, I think it'll be helpful. And he showed up. And I actually have a picture of Mike, because the buddies got together and we went out to the lake and I baptized him there. Because some of the guys that go to church and know Jesus at the cigar shop, we all did that together. But that's one example of just the power of a simple invitation, you know, and
it really shows,
yeah, and being a listening ear. Yeah.
And it shows how the ideas we're talking about are a whole lot more than ideas, right? Ultimately, it's going to play out in real lives. And that's huge. That's huge. So it's not talking theory, right?
Yeah, I think it's as simple as really being a friend to somebody. You know, listening is so powerful. It's something I've been learning. My wife's been teaching me, actually, because I'm a pastor, you know, I'm a preacher, so I'm a talker. But to listen is to love. And when you really are friends with somebody and you listen to them, and then in the right moment, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, you make that simple invitation, you'll be amazed at what God does. God does extraordinary things with little bitty acts of ordinary obedience. And, you know, anybody can do that. But I definitely, in the context of the whole conversation, I mean, the church has got to be outward focused because Jesus is outwardly focused. That's why he came. He came to seek and to save those who are lost.
Well, Chad, I feel like you and I could talk about this for a long time and not get weary in this conversation. But our time is pretty much up here. Let me give you one final thing, and this is just a very open-ended question that I tend to ask people who are on this podcast in conclusion. What are you excited about? Just either that God is teaching you or that you're seeing in the world or in the church. What's one thing that you are excited about right now?
You know, with everything going on, the pandemic, you know, all the tension around race and all the things that have happened here recently, in all of that trouble, and in all of that tension, man, I'm really seeing God at work. Even though there's so many hard and difficult things, people in their pain tend to be more open to spiritual things. You know, everybody prays when the plane's going down, right? When there's turbulence on the plane, everybody fastens their seatbelt, and even the atheists throw up a prayer just in case. So people are open to spiritual things right now. And we're seeing more people come to faith right now in our church, even though we're online. We're seeing that happen. People are praying more, you know, than they normally do. I'm just in all the trouble in the world, and as tiring and as exhausting as it is, I'm really excited about what God's doing kind of beneath the surface. And I do think we'll see it rise up. And I think we're going to see some awakening here. And I'm most excited about that right now. You know, personally, I mentioned my wife. My wife and I are doing a group online. It's called Alpha. Alpha is all about reaching people who don't yet know Jesus but are open to having a spiritual conversation. And so we've done an online group during this time, and man, it's been a blast. Just talking to people who are exploring spiritual things. So that's what I'm most excited about right now.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. And Chad, just thank you for your time as well. And thank you for what you've contributed here at Washington Heights. Your influence has made us better. And we're just thrilled to be in a relationship with you and hope that that continues for a long, long time. May God bless you and all that you are doing in that greater Phoenix area. And who knows what God might have in store for us in this partnership in the future.
Yeah, well, I'm honored to partner with you, and thanks for having me today.
All right, Chad, all the best to you. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in today, and we hope to see you next time on the Washington Heights Weekly Podcast. Thanks for joining us for the Washington Heights Weekly Podcast, a new podcast we'll post every Monday. We encourage you to check it out, subscribe to it as well. It'll come into your feed automatically. And if you want to share that with somebody that you know that maybe wants to find out a little bit more about Washington Heights, go ahead and share that. And we look forward to hearing from you as well. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.